بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والمرسلات عرفا.
In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most compassionate. By the winds sent forth in quick succession.
فالعاصفات عصفا.
Which then blow tempestuously.
والناشرات نشرا.
And raise clouds and scatter them around.
فالفارقات فرقا.
Then winnow them thoroughly.
فالملقيات ذكرا.
And then cast Allah's remembrance in people's hearts.
عذرا أو نذرا.
To serve as an excuse or a warning. The winds serve several important purposes. Sometimes when they cease to blow, they give rise to the frightful prospect of a famine which tends to soften people's hearts. This at times leads people to turn sincerely to God and repent. On other occasions, winds bring generous rainfall, filling people's hearts with gratitude to God. On still other occasions, they blow tempestually, inspiring fear in all hearts. As a result, many turn to God, dreading His chastisement that would wreak havoc on them.
إِنَّمَا تُوعَدُونَ لَوَاقِعٌ.
Surely, what you are promised shall come to pass. It could be a reference to the day of resurrection and the hereafter against which they are warned. The oath regarding the inevitability of the day of resurrection is taken here with reference to the following five features. 1. The wind sent forth in quick succession. 2. Which blow tempestuously. 3. Which raise clouds and scatter them around. 4. Which winnow them thoroughly. And 5. Which cast God's remembrance. In the above account, the focus is only on the features, without specifying the object that is endowed with these attributes. As a result, the Quran commentators differ as to whether all the above five features are of the same entity or of various entities. There's also disagreement among them in identifying these groups. A group of them is of the view that all these attributes are of the wind. This is contested by some, who think these are related to the angels. Some hold that the first three are the features of winds, while the last two are of angels. Some ascribe only the first two to winds and the rest to angels. Some scholars hold the view that the first and the second are the features of the angels of mercy and punishment respectively, while the last three refer to the verses of the Quran. In our opinion, since these five features are described one after another without any indication of a break in the discourse, it would be unsound to assume that the reference is to more than one subject. The cohesion and coherence of the text rather suggests that the whole passage is about the features of one particular entity. The purpose of this is to stress that the things related to the oath are absolutely true and correct. It is therefore unlikely that an intangible thing will be adduced as an argument for an intangible thing. Rather, a tangible entity is more apt. In our opinion, the reference is to winds. We do not accept the view of those who interpret the five things to be angels, for they too, like the day of resurrection, belong to the realm of the unseen. Let us now focus on how the system of wind serves as an argument for affirming the truth of the resurrection. Air is one of the most important factors essential for sustaining animal and plant life on earth. Its close link with the life cycle itself proves that it is devised by the all-powerful, most wise creator of the universe. He has put in place everything in the perfect proportion needed for supporting the life cycle. The winds do not merely encompass the earth. Rather, out of His power and wisdom, God has ensured their various states and features which regulate, since the beginning of time, the alternation of seasons and various states of weather, such as the blowing of a breeze, scorching heat, chilling cold, thick clouds, and heavy rainfall. At times, winds lead to devastating storms or beneficial rain or even famine. These are varieties of winds which blow at their appointed time and serve numerous functions. The very system testifies to a powerful divine scheme of things. It is not difficult for Him to bring life into existence or take it away or recreate it after it was obliterated. Only a fool may take the excellent working of the universe as a sport, lacking any underlying sublime purpose. Man is so helpless against this wonderful arrangement that he can neither blow any wind for himself, nor can he protect himself against devastating gale force winds. Despite his obstinate and stubborn disbelief, Winds, at times, remind him of his servitude to his all-powerful Master and Lord, who may use this most important means of life to bring his mercy or his curse upon him. As it is, man is utterly helpless to defy his decree. So when the stars are extinguished, the stars will lose their brightness. And the sky is rent asunder. The present system which binds all the celestial entities to their respective orbits will come to an end, and all the barriers will be rent asunder. And the mountains are blown away. And the appointed time to bring the messengers together arrives. Then shall the promised event come to pass. It is mentioned quite often in the Quran that when God examines mankind's record on the Day of Judgment, the messenger of each nation will be summoned to testify that he had conveyed God's message to his people. This will be the first and clinching argument from God against the wicked and wrongdoers. It will conclusively establish that they themselves were responsible for their error and misconduct, for God had employed every conceivable measure for warning for them. To which day has this task been deferred? To the Day of Judgment. What do you know what the Day of Judgment is? Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth. Meaning the disbelievers who rejected the tidings of the resurrection and led their lives in the world assuming that they will never have to stand before God, rendering the record of deeds and be accountable for the same. Did we not destroy many a nation of the earlier times? This argument for the hereafter is taken from the annals of history, which man should study. All those nations who denied the hereafter considered this world as the entirety of their existence and determined moral principles based on the outcome of good and evil in this life alone were eventually destroyed without any exception. This proves that the hereafter is a reality, the rejection of which ruins one's life in the same way as when one turns a blind eye to the realities of this life and severely harms himself. And we shall cause those of later times to follow them. This is God's permanent law. The rejection of the hereafter, which proved fatal for the earlier nations, will prove the same for communities in the future as well. No nation has escaped this fate in the past, and none will be an exception in the future. Thus do we deal with the guilty. Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth. This is said to emphasize that howsoever woeful a person's lot might be in this world, it does not represent the real chastisement that might lie in store for him. It is only on the Day of Judgment that each person will come to know the full extent of the chastisement that awaits him. The punishment in this world represents, at most, the detention of a criminal who continues committing crimes, refusing to mend his ways. Not in this world, but in the court of the hereafter alone will his case be decided, and he will be duly punished for his crimes.
أَلَمْ نَخْلُقْكُمْ مِنْ مَاءٍ مَهِينٍ
Did we not create you of a mean fluid?
فَجَعَلْنَاهُ فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ
Which we then placed in a secure repository. This appointed time is known to God alone. It is beyond man to tell beforehand for how many months, days, hours, minutes, and seconds the baby will remain inside the mother's womb, and exactly what will be the precise time of its birth. God has ordained an appointed time for each baby, of which only He has the knowledge.
إِلَىٰ قَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ
Until an appointed time. After conception, the fetus is placed in the safe repository of the mother's womb. The baby is placed there with such arrangements of security and nourishment that it cannot be miscarried unless there is a serious accident. Notwithstanding all the latest advancements in medical science, its abortion is still a difficult and risky process in view of its secure placement in the womb.
فَقَدَرْنَا فَنِعْمَ الْقَادِرُونَ
See that we had the power to do so. Great indeed is our power to do what we will. This is another weighty argument for life after death. Since God is able to create man out of an insignificant drop of sperm, why can he not then easily recreate him in any form after his death? The process of man's creation itself testifies to God's excellent creative power. He is in no way helpless to cause man's rebirth after having created him in the first place. Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth. Despite confronting the overwhelming argument for the possibility of life after death, those people who are denying it are free today to mock this belief as much as they like. They may even dismiss its believers as conservative, outdated, and superstitious in their outlook. But when the day of judgment, which they were denying and scoffing at, will appear, then they will realize this is the day of their complete ruin and disaster.
أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا
Did we not make the earth a receptacle?
أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا
For the living and the dead.
وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا رَوَاسِيَ شَامِخَاتٍ وَأَسْقَيْنَاكُمْ مَاءً فُرَاتًا
And did we not firmly fix towering mountains on it and give you sweet water to drink? It constitutes another argument as to why the doctrine of the hereafter is sound and tenable. Billions of creatures have inhabited the earth for millions of years, including human beings and different animals and plant species. It has been sustaining them all along with its numerous resources and products. Furthermore, numerous creatures die every day on earth, yet there is an amazing system in place for disposing of their dead bodies in no time. The earth then gets itself ready for sustaining the new members of all species. The earth is not made flat or level plain. Mountain ranges and high mountains are part of the landscape. These are instrumental in bringing about climatic changes, variations in seasons, rainfall, causing rivers to flow, creating fertile meadows, and in providing huge trees supplying timber and a variety of minerals and stones. The earth is also a vast reservoir of water. Equally baffling is the arrangement of the rising of the vapors from the sea and their descent later to the earth as rainfall. All this points to the existence of the all-powerful Creator. One who is all-hearing and all-seeing. If this earth has been created with all its provisions and skillful management requirements only by His power and wisdom, why then should an intelligent person have any difficulty in grasping that the same all-powerful God can put an end to the world and create a new one to His liking? His wisdom demands that He should build a different world after this, so that He may call man to account for the deeds he has done in this world.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين
Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth. People decry the coming of the hereafter and accountability for their activities as false, calling it both impossible and irrational. They do so in spite of the stunning manifestations of God's power and wisdom. They may remain immersed in their puerile fancies if they so wish. But a day will certainly come when they will see that many a thing, quite contrary to their expectations, will come to pass. It is then that they will fully realize how foolish they were in precipitating such devastation upon themselves.
انطلقوا إلى ما كنتم به تكذبون
Proceed now towards that which you were wont to deny as false. After proffering the evidence that the hereafter is bound to occur, the disbelievers are told about the treatment that they will receive after the hereafter becomes a reality.
انطلقوا إلى ظل ذي ثلاث شعب
Proceed towards the three-pronged shadow. Shadow here denotes the shadow caused by smoke, What is meant by its three-pronged form can be grasped by observing a thick pall of smoke splitting into several branches.
لا ظليل ولا يغني من اللهب.
Which neither provides cooling, shade, nor protection against the flames.
إنها ترمي بشرر كالقصر.
It indeed throws up sparks like castles.
كأنه جمالة صفر.
Which seem as though they are yellow-colored camels. Each of its sparks will be as massive as a palace. As these sparks burst, it will seem as though they are yellow-colored camels running about.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth.
هذا يوم لا ينطقون.
That will be the day on which they will not be able to utter a word.
ولا يؤذن لهم فيعتذرون.
Nor will they be allowed to proffer excuses. This will be their last condition when they will be consigned to hell. In the grand assembly, they will resort to all sorts of pretexts and pleas in self-defense, blame others for their misdeeds in a bid to plead their innocence, and revile their chiefs for having misled them. Some will even have the temerity to deny their misdeeds, as the Quran states at several places. However, the irrefutable and solid evidence will prove them to be offenders, and moreover, their own limbs will testify against them, leaving no room for any allowance to be made to them. They will be left utterly speechless, because the punishment will be awarded to them after fulfilling the due process of law and justice. They will then be unable to put up any defense whatsoever, nor will they be allowed to proffer any excuse. This does not mean that they will be declared guilty without giving them a chance to defend their case. What is meant is that as their crimes will be conclusively proved, they will not be in a position to offer any further pretext or excuse. They will be silenced by the irrefutable evidence against them.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth.
هذا يوم الفصل جمعناكم والأولين.
That is the day of judgment on which we have assembled you as well as all those who went before you.
فإن كان لكم كيد فكيدون.
So if you have any ploy, try it against me. Since they indulged in all sorts of frauds and falsehood in the world, they are sarcastically asked to try any of their ploys against God to escape in the hereafter.
ويل يومئذ للمكذبين.
Woe on that day to those that give the lie to the truth.